Hey friends, welcome to another episode of the Lucky Few podcast, where we are shifting the narrative by shouting the worth of people with Down syndrome. This is Mercedes,
Micah,
and Heather.
And today we're chatting all about our recent decisions to move and how that has affected our kiddos with Down syndrome. Change is a big deal, so this is going to be a really great conversation. Thank you for joining us, friends, and welcome to the Lucky Few podcast. Okie dokie. So this episode is kind of just a life update, fun episode where we can talk about the very practical big thing when it comes to moving and being a family who has a child with Down syndrome. Right, ladies?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. We're super experts.
As always, we are experts and we know all. So thank you guys for tuning in.
Exactly. And you're welcome.
Prepare yourselves for greatness.
If you are a first-time listener, Mercedes is kidding. We're kidding.
We know nothing.
Yes. If you listen a long time, you know. Oh, those silly ladies. They don't know.
You guys. So we all have moved for different Well, I guess for a variety of reasons, and I guess we'll share.
Right now, we are in different seasons. By the time this comes out, I still will not have moved. We move in 9 days from the day of recording.
Okay.
And then just a couple days after everyone listens to this. So we are in that phase of living in box, starting to pack up the boxes.
Right.
Bah, 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 bah. And then, Merce, you're in your new house, and Micah is in an Airbnb headed to a home. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I feel like I will be the example of what not to do. Okay, so we decided to move. So we lived in Dana Point area, then moved to Redlands for a year. And that was such a fun, exciting change. I've grown up by the beach, so, and in the same area my whole life. So to move even an hour inland, hour and a half inland, was a big change. And it was an exciting change. And when we found the opportunity that we were able to buy, we decided to move back by the beach, still a new city. So this is our second year in a new city. So last year in Redlands, we were in a new city. I had a handful of friends. Thank you, Heather. And so we're in that same exact spot again of being the new people and figuring out a new city again, which when you're a stay-at-home mom who homeschools can be kind of a lonely thing. We're doing a better job, and maybe the pressure is off more because of COVID too. Like we're in the middle of COVID, so I still go to the beach a lot and go on the trails. And I'm only 20 minutes away from the community I grew up with. So I can see them at the beach. It just feels actually different, pressure's off, and it feels more comfortable. But the hardest thing has been that we moved from a home with a pool to now a home with not a pool. And Sunflower, the first 2 weeks of us moving, was okay with it. And now she's really, really, really having a hard time because that the pool was her life for like a whole year. So I have to get her involved in a pool, and most of them are closed near us. So we've been going to the beach a lot so she can get her water fixed, but it's hard. The beach swimming is different than pool swimming.
Yeah. Very much, yes.
Very different. There's elements.
Significantly so.
There's waves. Yes. So she's trying to find her way through that. And sometimes I don't want her to because it's very scary. But I am excited to say that the pools are starting to open up. We'll start to open up in October if everything stays on the up and up with new laws and stuff. So I think we'll kind of have a sense of relief from her behaviors. And what I mean by behaviors is Whenever there's a change or something is lacking that used to be always there, she'll just ask for it repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. And when I say repeatedly, I want people to hear me that it is repeatedly, that it is without stopping, you know. It's like, mom, pool. Oh, honey, we don't have a pool anymore. So we'll have to make a plan to go to the pool. And then I'll say, okay, babe. And she'll be like, okay, mom, pool. I know, Sunny. And you know, it's really, that's actually super duper hard to stay pleasant with the whole day, you know? So we've had to come up with a plan, and I'm trying to implement the calendar more, which we're still unpacking boxes. So like half her PEX board, because I'm not a very well-organized person. Some of the little like Velcro pictures are missing. And I'm doing everything half ASS, everyone. Yeah. Because we're living out of boxes and our interior is being painted and the exterior is being painted. So we're just all kind of disheveled. And so if I'm feeling disheveled, I have to assume and know that Sunflower is feeling disheveled. And I feel a lot of guilt in that and a lot of also ambition to keep unpacking boxes, you know, like, okay, we need to get settled. We got them a playground, which she loves, but she still is missing the pool. So we want to get an above ground pool. I don't know. I just feel bad that she got really good at a thing and a sport, and now she doesn't have it.
Yeah.
So that feels, and I can't change that financially right away for her. Sure. You know,
pool's not an easy one to just
no. You know what, Andy? We need to put in a pool for Sunny. Like I want to give her the world all the time, but I have to also be realistic. You know.
Do you feel like Mercedes, that when she is in that state, is there something like when she's in the like mom pool?
Yes.
Have you found something that helps? Like you mentioned PECs. Do you feel like having a visual aid for her every day would help? Or do you feel like it's sort of, who knows if it would do something?
It helps a tiny bit because it gives me something to go back to rather than saying, no pool, hun, I don't know. Rather than saying these words that she doesn't really care about, I could say, so now the pool for us is the beach. So I'll show her the PECs and I'll say, schoolwork, eat, then beach, you know? And so it gives me something to point to so I can stop saying, yeah, no, we don't have a pool. No, no pool today. Other than that, that's the only purpose it serves. She's still going to ask me a lot. Mm-hmm. But because she doesn't have a pool, then she obsesses about her next favorite thing, which is the iPad. Mm-hmm. So the iPad is the surefire thing that'll get her to stop talking about the pool, but we try to have a really strict iPad rule. Mm-hmm. So then it becomes about, okay, so school, eat, beach, eat, then iPad, you know, then I just refer back to the PECs to show her the line, the row of events. I always say it's just a lot of me enduring well, because I know this is just a change for her and a habit that she has when she's worried or anxious or excessively thinking about communicating what she wants. So she gets it, you know? So I feel like enduring sounds negative, but it does feel like enduring. I just want to stay positive and not get annoyed, if which is a negative word, but bothered, or I don't know.
Sure.
It's annoyed. At the fact that she's asking that, because she can't help it. Like, you know, remembering her feelings behind it, and not that she's, and that we're all, it's just hard to acknowledge her feelings when also me as a human feels disheveled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And wants a lot of things too, and has all the kiddos. So I can't, it's hard to give complete, full, positive attention to that behavior.
Totally.
Yeah.
And do it well.
Yeah. And meet the expectation.
Well, it's
impossible for you at this point.
At this point in your life. Right.
But I know even today with one of my other kiddos, I was going to say one of my neurotypical kids, so you guys can take a guess which one that is. But I was trying to keep her identity.
Poor thing.
She was like, like trying to plan a play date. And I think this relates to a little bit what you're saying, but she's trying to plan a play date. And I know that what she's holding right now with, like, we're trying to move, like we're in the beginning phases of moving. So things are disheveled in our home and then all the COVID stuff.
Yes.
And I just like said to her, I didn't snap, but in a way that was just like, I cannot control this for you. I can't be the person to make this happen for you because there's so much else happening and you did fun things yesterday. Mm-hmm. I can't give you fun things every day. I can't be your social planner in this season. Right. I can't do this. Like, I need you to stop asking because every time you ask, I feel bad about it. I feel bad. So, but that's also on me that I feel bad. I should not put that on her.
Well, and that's what I know exactly what you mean. I feel bad. I'm like, no, but we bought a home. Like, how are they to know the situation? You know, like, right. No, this is a better situation for our family. It doesn't have the cool bells and whistles, but this is a better situation, right. Obviously, Sunflower. And then, yeah, I feel bad. I'm like, I know your pool. And then I think about all the ways she got so good at it, you know, and then that does build up the frustration because I'm like, oh, I feel bad. And you keep asking me, that's kind of frustrating. And I have so many children to take care of. And we're in the midst of moving. So there's boxes and things that need to be done.
Totally.
So I don't know. I feel like it's managing her behavior and my behavior. I'm in charge of managing both behaviors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so hard to realize too. Like, I mean, Sunflower has lost what was comfortable for her. She got used to her house and her routine. And there's just so few ways that she can communicate that. And right now, the only way she can communicate it is pull. So it's so hard as a parent to keep your patience and keep that in mind and not just let the annoying aspect of it overwhelm you.
Yes, Micah, keep it in mind. That's exactly what, and I've started to ask her, Sunflower, which has always been positive and I should do it all the time, but Sunflower, do you miss the pool? Do you miss having a pool? And she'll be like, yes. And then that makes me feel bad. But then I give her a big hug. I'm like, I miss the pool too. So I feel like I want to be better at putting that sentence together for her, you know, and
it's good
helping to validate the feelings that she's feeling. And because that's always positive. Now it will happen 10 minutes later. So that's where I have to I have to remember, like you were saying, just keep remembering.
Yeah. Do you feel like looking back, if you could go back in time, that you would have created like a social story for her about moving to the new house? And part of that would have been, and there won't be a pool. And without a pool, you may feel this way and that's okay. And when you feel this way, you can do this or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, 1000%. And I should still do it. Like, I still should make the social story. I wish I would have done it before we moved. And now I just need to do it right now. I've been watching Love on the Spectrum.
Yeah.
And it's the best.
Oh, I gotta watch it.
Oh my gosh.
So good. I can't. And one of the parents said such a great thing, how their child has autism and that the only way, or one of the biggest ways their child will learn social cues is if they role play. So they'll take the time to role play a scenario. So I feel like I need to do that with Sunny, is to role play, which is fun for her because it's like playing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, Sunny, we're going to play moving and we're going to move. And so we're not going to have this pool, but we're going to have this, a playground and everything. And you might feel sad. Like, I need to role play with her a little bit, which is great because I've always thought I'd be a great actress.
You and would. I just- totally.
I think a social story and acting out the scenario or playing the scenario with her dolls would be a great idea.
Do it today.
I can do that. I don't have to print anything, make a picture. Right. That I can do. And I love that we're talking about this because I need to do that today.
And can I say something about social stories?
Yes.
You don't have to print them out. I want everyone out there to know there's an amazing app given to me by Dr. Noemi Spinazzi, who she talked to me about it. It's called Special Stories. You have to pay for the app. I can't remember how much it is. But it has been totally worth it because I can make a social story so fast, and I just have to upload pictures and then I record my voice, and then I can give my phone to Ace and we will just watch it from time to time. Or I love that. Yeah. I've given him and it's really easy for him to navigate. You just hit the arrows and then my voice comes up and the picture changes and the story changes. So I gave it to him on the way to a haircut one time, and he watched the social story and then he started crying because he didn't want to get a haircut.
He's like, and I was like, buddy, I know what you're preparing me for, mom.
It is $20, $19.99. Worth it. Okay.
Worth it. Easy.
Yes. I have another suggestion that is way more labor intensive. So. But we did this for a social story that we need always. And that is transitions, like for a larger social story that is about transitions for Mason. And we did it with chatbooks. And so on chatbooks, it's like $6 and you upload the pictures and then you can write out the story.
That's awesome.
And so, they mail it to you. So it's super cheap. And we have made social stories chatbooks, but that does require you to sit at a computer and do it. It's actually not that labor intensive. You just have to make it happen.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And that totally makes sense for things you're going to use over and over. Right.
Yeah.
Like think I did one for our vacation this summer.
Yeah.
I did one for Ace is moving to a new house and it has a picture of our house that we're moving to. I did one for Ace starting school. And sometimes it seems like he doesn't care, you know? But I do feel like having one that is about transitions, about things that are constantly happening, that's in your hands, you can open it up and look at it. That's really valuable, more valuable than having it on the phone in an app.
Oh yeah. Sometimes I do think though, I want both, but having it on the phone, Sunny, if she can access it herself, will read it or will do it. And I think retain it more because she's so self-led. Mm-hmm. Like anything she can do herself, she will retain and actually accept, you know? So I do think she would accept something more easily and retain it if she does look at it on the phone. Unfortunately.
Techie. The other good thing about the chatbooks is once it's made, you can print them anytime. So we had it printed for school. So Macy had the book at school and the book at home. And then when we would go on to camp or vacation, anytime that would require a transition, which is every day, all day, but anytime we'd be going somewhere and I'd anticipate a challenge, we would revisit the transition book. But I'm going to get this app for sure. And you're using it now, Micah, with your
move? Yeah. I have my most recent, I'm moving to a new house. That's my recording, everybody.
Thank you.
Moving to a new house. So we are using it all the time, and I used it when he started riding the school bus, all of those things. So
I think too, moving and having Sunflower feel these feelings and then wishing I did a social story, I think sometimes we could get in a rhythm in our family, because Sunflower is so independent and for the most part easygoing, is that sometimes I forget to, and maybe other families can relate, to care for her special needs. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? To take the time to realize that my daughter has Down syndrome and that this will affect her.
Like to give her additional support.
To give, thank you.
In little areas, yeah.
Additional, I will do that. I will tell other people to do that when I drop her off. But I mean, that's so rarely. And then, but I forget that I need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see her, and not that this wouldn't be seeing her as my daughter. I just see her differently sometimes in the home setting.
Yeah,
sure. Than I real, and then these things happen. I'm like, oh, Sunny, I'm sorry. Did you need additional support in making this huge life change? Crazy.
Huh. Sorry, girl.
Who knew? Yeah. Moving is a big deal to you, huh? Okay. I don't know. It sounds so silly saying it out loud because I'm like, how did I not know that? Yeah.
I don't think that's silly at all, Mercedes, because she's your oldest and you have littles. You have all littles. And it, in some ways, she's like the most mature. She's the one who can handle things. And
right.
So I can see how it would be like, okay, Sunflower, you hold it together. I've got baby
brain. I've got all these emotional boys.
Right. Right.
I know. I think that's how I see it. And then that's when it bums me out. And I'm like, oh, but you do also have your needs, you know?
Yeah. And I would think too, that you're already, I think that as the parents of kids with Down syndrome who do need some additional supports, that we just naturally do it. And so in like it becomes a part of how we parent.
Yeah.
And so when it is outside of the norm of our day-to-day parenting and it is a big thing like a move, I think that probably Mercedes, if you like did a deep analysis of your day-to-day with her, there is all kinds of additional support you're giving her that you just have learned to do naturally.
Yeah.
But this is something that's so different that
right.
It requires
additional
thought. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Which you can't, we say this all the time on the podcast. You can't know what you don't know.
You can't know what you don't know.
Now you know. And I don't have a social story written for my kids for the move. So that's happening too.
Yeah.
Next. And
yeah. Tell us about that, Heather. What are you going to do?
How am I helping my kids with the move? So our move is different because we are staying in our neighborhood and we're just moving to a different house. So that, and this will be our fifth move in 7 years. Bless. And because of that, and because of the fact that we're not changing communities, which we have two other times, it feels so easy. But, you know, Mason a couple days ago was like, I'm just going to really miss this house. I don't want to move. I'm going to miss this house. And it's good that she can tell me that and for me to know that, like, oh yeah, I'm going to miss this house too. But we've also only been in this house for 2 years, mm-hmm. which doesn't, I'm very sentimental. And I think it's like a good time to mm-hmm. move because we only have 2 years of memories in this house, mm-hmm. half of which are COVID. So right. like, you yeah. know, a third of it.
Right.
It feels different in that regard, but I think that we're just starting to see the stress of it because we're in the act of moving. And yeah, I think it's important for me to remember this. And I think this is true for most people with Down syndrome, that they do absorb the room, the emotions and what's happening in a space more than I do even. And so my kids with Down syndrome are very aware of the atmosphere and aware of what is all of the unspokens happening within the space. And when you're moving, those unspokens are stressful mm-hmm. and overwhelming. And sometimes those are also very spoken, right? So they're very verbal about that, or it comes out in a verbal way, but they're holding that. So for me, it's important to remember that. And then I think like we talked about, the support of a social story feels really important, of clarifying expectations. That's so, so huge. Like front loading, like this is what the actual moving day will look mm-hmm. like. This is what it will be with your room. We've been talking about their rooms a lot. And Mason's 12. So she's a young lady and she mm-hmm. has opinions and she can express them. And so she does. And I think just in parenting in general, to not dismiss that, mm-hmm. right? Like when she's saying, I'm going to miss this house, to not be like, oh, we've only been here 2 years, honey.
Yes.
And to say, yes, I will miss it too. Why? What will you miss? And then maybe I'll take it a step further and let's take pictures of those things. And then you'll have them to remember. We also are moving to a house with a pool. And so everyone's like pretty pumped. Right. I think my kids right now are just real pumped about what this move will mean mm-hmm. because
yeah.
it's less than a mile. It's 0.1 mile from where we are. And the middle point is the elementary school. So we can still walk to school. Oh, we're the same distance to the elementary school. Amazing. We're literally like the friends are the same. The schools are the same. So that's good. So I think I will report back next week when things are a lot more stressful.
Totally.
Sounds good.
Yeah. But I'm excited for the Social Story app. I'm downloading it, using it today.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Dr. Spinazzi, once again coming in for us. Sometimes I just forget phrases, what you're supposed to say.
You know, I forget those too. But Micah, your move is so massive.
Yes.
And across country in like a lot of steps to your move.
Yes.
How's Ace doing? How are you? And you're doing Social Stories, but what's going on in your world with that?
I feel like we've talked about my move on the podcast more because I had a whole episode on Ace's school and what we've been choosing for him. We did the actual move in the middle of August, but lots of steps. So we packed up the house in San Francisco. We said goodbye to our friends out there. We said goodbye to our stuff. We said goodbye to our house. We actually had this was with my older boys, not with Ace, but we had a family evening where we just went room by room in the house and talked about our favorite memories in each room. Aww. And said goodbye to it together. And it was really sweet. And I felt like that was an important closure for everybody. Mm-hmm. Ace wasn't there because he didn't travel back with us to San Francisco. So that was a loss for him. Like, he didn't really get to say goodbye to our home. Mm-hmm. He was still at his grandma's because of COVID. But we went and stayed with Chris's mom to quarantine because there's a 2-week mandatory quarantine from California if you go to New Jersey.
Oh, and really?
Yes. And so we quarantined with her. We made the move on August 29th. The big boys started school August 31st. We've been in an Airbnb since then. Today is September 23rd, I think, while we're recording this. And we were supposed to close on our house today, but it got pushed back. So hopefully we're closing in the next couple of days. Our stuff was supposed to arrive yesterday, and it still hasn't left California.
Stop it.
Moving company. So we are... we are just in that zone. Like,
totally.
There's so little you can control in the moving process. There's so many steps, so many hoops to jump through. And we're just having to be patient and help our kids be patient. Mm-hmm. So I think in terms of Ace's needs, he is, you know, because he's non-speaking, it's really hard for him to tell us how he feels. And I haven't been able to know, like, does he miss his house? Mm-hmm. Has this been a hard thing for him? I feel like for him, like, my general sense is he just needs us. Like, if we're all together, he's okay. If we're not all together, it's hard. And mm-hmm. so for, like, when Brooks and I left San Francisco earlier than August and Chris, and so there was a good 10 days that was just me, Brooks, and Ace and my mother-in-law together. And Ace could, like, that was hard for him. He wanted Chris and August there too. And once they came, it felt like he settled. Mm. But there's still a lot up in the air. Like, he's adjusting really great to school. He loves school. He loves his teachers. And I feel awesome about what he's getting. It's so good. And he's adjusting to our new schedule, but I don't, you know, it's so hard to help him understand that this is an in-between space where we're staying, that his toys are going to come back soon. The four toys I packed back in July they're no longer fun. And we are just really struggling out here. All he's got that he likes right now is a baby doll stroller that he just pushes around outside with, like, a frown. He's like, somebody give me more than this.
Oh, that's so good.
He's like, I'm so over it all. I've been like getting so many books and crafts from the library. I'm so happy the libraries are open out here. Yeah. And they have these little pre-made craft bags with
amazing.
I know. And so we're like putting together the construction paper pirate, you know? And that's like what we got going on. Him being back in school is amazing. Mm-hmm. So this was day five of school for him. He started last week. And we're just, you know, waiting for the next step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so interesting. You know, like all our kids are so different. I think that the common thing though is that expectation, you know, that our kids know what to expect. I feel like that's important for them. I know it's important for me, but I have the flexibility is the wrong word. The way in which I interact with the world, I can take it in stride a little bit more you know,
you have and tools.
Yeah. And it's so easy sometimes to get frustrated when our kids say, Mason is repeating a lot right now too with moving and like wanting to know the plan over and over. You know what we started saying? This is actually from a therapy thing that we're doing. That's very vague. I'm sorry. I'm not going into more detail, but one thing that we started saying to our kids is, you know, all there is to know about that, like that phrase, that script, or I've said all there is to say about that. And so Mason will be like, this is a new house. We're moving. Like we're packing. Yes, honey, we're packing. And then after a few times, like, oh honey, you know, all there is to know about that. And she will hear it, you know, and she'll, or I've said all there is to say about that.
I like that.
Or I will only answer new questions. Write those three down.
Okay.
I'm only answering new questions.
I feel like I want that for even my roads.
Totally.
Oh, yeah. I am only answering new questions.
Yeah.
I like that better than, I don't want to hear that anymore. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
Stop talking. Stop talking.
Is it?
No more. You're not allowed to ask questions. Yes, no questions. Which is actually very harmful.
I know.
To teach our children. No questions. Don't question it.
Exactly. That's why I love these new terms, because I'm like, I don't mean that, but I need to say that because I also can't hear what you are asking anymore. So I like these other phrases.
That's good. With my older kids, I can say when they're pestering me, you're filling my jar right now. And that is, we talk about our anxiety jar a lot in our house. Like things get put in all day long to your anxiety jar, and it doesn't matter what the last thing is, but if it's overflowing, then I'm going to lose my temper, or you might lose your temper, or we might have a hard time. So when they're like, can I have this? Can we do this? Can we do that? I'm like, you're filling my jar. I need you to walk away because you're filling my jar up.
You just need a visual of like a jar full of nails or something. And then you just, when they walk towards you, you just shake it. You know how you do it when you're training a dog? You put nails in a can or something. We have great ideas.
Pom-poms. I know.
When we brainstorm.
The one big thing that we've seen with Ace that I think, because he's not able to communicate how he's feeling, the way it's expressing itself is with sleep, and he has really regressed. And he had struggled so much a year ago with waking up twice a night, playing in the night, all of that. And since we've been in this Airbnb, he is waking up at least twice a night. We are sharing a room. Ace is sleeping on the floor with Chris and I. Chris and I are in a bed. Ace is sleeping on the floor. And he is just every night climbing in our bed, jumping on our bed. If anybody has thoughts for me out there, and I just keep hoping, like, we're going to move into a house. He's going to have his bed. We'll get a routine. It's going to get better. But yeah, it's really hard to know. And maybe I'm answering my own question. Maybe I need to do a social story about sleep with him.
Mm-hmm. It couldn't hurt. You got the app.
I got the app, girls.
And also just extending grace to our kids and ourselves, and that, it might just wait till you're going to have, like, it's going to be a transition that is going to affect him differently. And I remember too, with my kids, like from the time they were tiny, everything takes longer for my kids with Down syndrome. Right. Everything's taken longer. Every adjustment, every new milestone, everything takes more time, which has been a beautiful lesson for me in my life, you know? So even in these transitions, it takes more time, mm-hmm. but that's hard. Sleep is all everything.
Sleep is everything.
Okay, you guys, we have to wrap this up. I just looked at the clock.
I know.
We are going to wrap it up. As you know, wish you well. I think we're all in the middle of all the things. So I wish us all well, and we can keep reporting back. And you're doing a good job, ladies.
No, thank you.
You too, Heather.
Good job. Let's shift over to what we like to call good news.
Good news, good news.
It's good. All right, we got some good news from a listener. We have on Instagram, they are KSDRWAL. Kidsdrawl said, my son recently found out he was chosen as a Special Olympic U.S. Youth Ambassador for North America. That's so exciting. And his unified partner will advocate for the inclusion movement throughout the U.S. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So rad.
Let's have him on the podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that good news. That is some good news.
So good. Okay, I've got one. Octo Home Mines, OctoHomines, says, my girl cooperated through both her echo and EKG, and she didn't cry at all.
Oh, that's good news. I have two kiddos who do those things, and when they cooperate... very helpful.
It's very helpful. When they don't, it fills our anxiety jars.
Exactly.
Very high.
Yes. Very
high. We're glad
high.
For you. We're glad for you.
That's good news.
That is good news. You guys, I'll do good news about sunflower just because. Good news is sleeping through the night and waking up and not being destructive is still my good news, because you guys, this is a huge thing.
I love that. Awesome.
It's a huge
good job,
thing.
Sunny.
So I want to celebrate that and give her some praise, because the other thing is overwhelming. Okay.
Yes. Yay, Sunny.
Good job,
Yay.
Sunny May.
So I think we can wrap up, right, guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do it.
You guys, thank you for joining us. And as always, friends, we want to hear from you. Leave us a voicemail at 424-442-9147 and share about your family and your good news about your loved one with Down syndrome. And if you have a product or a business that want to help us shout the worth of people with Down syndrome, then we'd love to partner with you as well. And you can email us at hello@theluckyfewpodcast.com for our sponsorship opportunities. And a huge thank you to our editor and producer, Josh Avis, and our co-producer, Val Schleter, our sponsors, and all of you who have shared the Lucky Few podcast with your friends and who have listened faithfully and cheered us on for so long. We love you and appreciate you. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember that you, our dear listener, supporting your loved one with Down syndrome, you are a shouter of worth and a narrative shitter. So keep on keeping on, and we are cheering for you. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Hey there, friends. Heather Avis here, podcast host and author of Scoot Over and Make Some Room, a book about creating a space where everyone belongs. Scoot Over and Make Some Room is my second book, and although it came out in 2019, its message of inclusion and making space in our world for people who are different than us could not be more relevant or timely. You can head to the link in our show notes, as well as to any of your favorite book retailers, to grab a copy for you and a friend or 10 friends. Heck, make a book club out of it, because if there's something we need in our world right now, it's for ways to see the worth and value in everybody around us. Let's commit to creating a world where everyone belongs.